Title, One-Shot FX Rex from Scratch Using Arrangement View Advanced. All right, let's build a proper One-Shot FX system for drum and bass inside Ableton Live, using Arrangement View like a producer, who actually finishes tracks. The whole idea today is simple. A lot of the movement in modern DNB isn't your main break, your kick snare, or even the bass. It's the one-shot moments, the impacts, the uplifters, the downlifters, the glitchy little fills that make the arrangement feel expensive and intentional. And we're doing this the arrangement way on purpose, because one-shots need to hit exactly on the bar. No MIDI timing ambiguity, no why does this feel late, no launch quantize weirdness. You place it, you automate it, you print it, you reuse it. By the end, you'll have one dedicated source track, one modular multi-chain rack that's designed for DNB transitions, and a repeatable workflow. Create, automate, resample, consolidate, reuse. Let's start with the session setup. Set your project tempo somewhere in the DNB pocket. I'll assume 174 BPM. Now go into Arrangement View and put locators where a DNB record actually breathes. Intro at bar 1, bill at 17, drop at 33, breakdown at 65, drop 2 at 97, whatever fits your song. But do it now, because it makes every FX decision feel obvious. Also set yourself up with grid discipline. Use a 1-bar grid for placement and phrasing, and switch down to 1/16 or 1/32 only, when you're doing micro edits, like tiny gaps before drops or fast glitch stuff. Now create a dedicated audio track. CDMD or Control-T, name it FX One Shots. First device on the track. Utility, set the gain to about -6 dB. Don't overthink it. This is just clean gain staging, so when you start getting excited with saturation and reverb, you're not eating your master alive. Quick coach note, for one shots, you should think in prints, not tracks. The rack is not the product. The printed audio file is the product. The rack is just your generator. Now let's get a source clip in. Drag in any short sound. Seriously, a snare, a door slam, a re-stab, a noise burst, a cymbal choke, a field recording hit. DNB FX often start from something stupidly basic, then you process it until it becomes a moment. Double-click the clip. Turn warp on. If it's drum-like and transient, try beats mode. If it's more noisy, complex, or full range, try complex pro. And if you're in beats, experiment with the transient loop mode. Texture can smear into a whoosh. Forward can chop into glitch. Now make yourself a clean working region. Select one bar around the hit and consolidate. CDMD or Control-J. This is important. You're making a stable chunk of audio that stays locked to the grid while you mangle it. Before we even build the rack, adjust clip gain so the loudest transient hits the rack consistently. This is a secret weapon. If every source hits the rack at a similar level, your macro positions actually mean something across different samples. Otherwise, every sound needs a new sweet spot and you lose speed. Now, on the FX One Shots track, drop in an audio effect rack. We're going to build 4 parallel chains, then a little safety stage after. Chain A is transient smack. This is your impact punch, the thwack that reads in a club. Put EQ 8 first. High pass around 25 to 35 Hz, fairly steep. If you want chest, at a slight bump around 120 to 200. If it's boxy, dip a little in the 300 to 500 area. Next, drum bus. Drive somewhere between 5 and 20%. Keep crunch subtle, like 0 to 20. Usually keep boom off for impacts unless you're being extremely disciplined with low end. Then bring up transients, maybe plus 10 to plus 30. This is where the hit starts speaking. Then add saturator. Analog clip mode. Drive maybe 2 to 8 dB. And compensate the output so you're not just getting louder and thinking it's better. Goal for this chain. Clean punch. Readable transient. Not a giant low-end blob. Chain B is wide air. This is the cinematic whoosh and space layer that makes your drop feel wider without messing with your core drums. Start with auto filter. High pass type. Somewhere around 200 to 800 Hz. Add a bit of resonance, like 0.8 to 1.4. Just enough to create a sense of motion when you automate. Then reverb. Decay anywhere from 2.5 to 6 seconds depending on how dramatic you want it. Pre-delay around 10 to 30 milliseconds, or even more later for the gated burst trick. Size big, 80 to 120%. Low cut in the reverb itself, somewhere 300 to 800, and high cut maybe 6 to 10k for that darker DNB vibe. Set dry wet around 20 to 45% to start, because we're automating this later. Then utility, width 140 to 180%. And very important, bass mono on, around 120 to 180 HE. Keep the low end centered, always. Goal for this chain, width and atmosphere, but the low end stays disciplined. Chain C is mid-bite. This is the neuro-ish edge, the techie aggression, without turning the whole thing into broadband fizz. Start with redux, but subtle. Downsample maybe 1.5 to 4. Bit reduction minimal, often 0 to 2. Then amp, or pedal if you prefer. Try something like blues or rock on amp. Keep the gain low to mid. The goal is character, not fuss soup. Then EQ8. Think band limited. High pass around 120 to 200. Low pass around 6 to 10k. If you need presence, a gentle boost around 1.5 to 3k. Goal. Bite that sits in the mids, not noise that eats the mix. Chain D is subtail control. Optional, but this is the pro chain that stops your impacts from ruining your low-end relationship with the bassline. EQ8 first. Low pass around 120 to 180 HC, so this chain is basically only weight. Then compressor. Ratio 4 to 1. Attack 10 to 30 milliseconds, release 80 to 200. Aim for 2 to 5 dB of gain reduction on peaks. Then utility. With 0% mono, and keep it quieter than the others, often minus 6 to minus 12 dB relative. Goal, controlled mono weight, not a sub explosion. Now we make the rack actually playable. Map key parameters to macros. Impact punch, drum bus transients on the transient chain. Smack drive, saturator drive, air amount, reverb dry wet, air tone, reverb high cut so you can darken or brighten the space quickly. Width, utility width on the air chain. Bite. Amp gain or pedal drive, low cut. You can map a high pass frequency either post rack or on key chains. And tail gate, optional but powerful, add a gate at the end of the rack and map threshold, so you can hard control how long the tail lives. Now add one more device after the rack, EQ8 as a safety filter. High pass around 25 to 30 HC, and if anything is screaming, do a small notch. This is your I refuse to let FX ruin my master device. Also, do a mono check early. Put a utility at the very end if you want, and briefly set width to zero while auditioning. If your impact disappears in mono, your wide air is doing too much heavy lifting or the mid content isn't strong enough. Now the key workflow, making one shots in arrangement. We're going to create three classic DNB one shots, impact, uplifter, downlifter. And the rule is, we automate in arrangement, then we print to audio, then we consolidate so it becomes a stable asset. First, the impact. Place your source clip exactly on the drop marker. For example, bar 33, beat 1, right on the 1. If you get clicks, don't fight it with processing. Just add tiny fades. And when I say tiny, I mean like half a millisecond to 2 milliseconds. Click management is one of those boring details that makes your one shots translate louder and cleaner. Now automate rack macros in arrangement. At the hit, push impact punch high, set smack drive moderate. Decide how much air amount you want. In DNB, the trick is usually, make it feel big, but don't smear the first kick and snare. Then shape the tail. You can automate track volume, or utility gain for a fade over half a bar to 2 bars depending on the moment. Now print it. Create a new audio track called Resample Print. Set its input to resampling. Arm it. Solo your FX one-shots track. Record 1 to 2 bars. Then consolidate the recorded audio into a clean one shot. Name it. Seriously. Name it now. Something like IMP Tight 01. The naming sounds boring until you have 30 prints and you're trying to arrange fast. Coach note. Build a consistent print window. For impacts, I like printing 2 bars even if the actual hit is short. It standardizes tails and makes auditioning faster. Risers might be 8 bars. Downlifters might be 2. Decide your standard and stick to it. Also, pre-fader versus post-fader matters. If you fade the tail using track volume and you want that fade printed, resample post-fader by using the normal resampling method. If you want the raw print and you'll do fades later, route to a dedicated resample bus and capture pre-fader. It's not right or wrong, it's about whether your print includes the performance moves. Next, the uplifter. Duplicate your source clip so it runs 4 to 8 bars before the drop. A classic placement is bars 29 to 33 if your drop is at 33. Now add pitch movement. Use clip transpose automation. Start around minus 12 semitones and rise up to 0, or even up to plus 7 if you want it more extreme. If your source is tiny, like a click or snare, here's a powerful move. Set warp to texture mode and automate grain size from small to larger. You'll go from jittery to smeared, which feels like energy building. Add a touch of flux for instability, but keep it controlled. Then band limit it with EQ so it sounds designed, not like a mistake. Now automate filter movement. On the wide air chain, Sweep the auto filter cutoff from maybe 300 to 600 Hz up to 8 to 12 kHz. Add some resonance for that little whistle, but keep it tasteful. Drum and bass hate CDM squeal unless you really mean it. Then automate space. Gradually increase air amount through the build and then cut it right at the drop. That contrast is everything. The drop feels bigger when the reverb suddenly stops. And here's a classic DN beat arrangement weapon. A micro gap, right before the drop. Cut to silence for an eighth note or even a 16th. Kill the riser tail, mute hats, or hard cut room ambience. Then your impact lands in negative space and sounds twice as big without being twice as loud. Print the riser the same way. Resample, record the exact length, consolidate, and name it like RIS-8B01. Now, the downlifter. Start it on the drop. Bar 33.1.1. But treat it as a separate clip or use a printed version. Downlifters are usually best as audio because you want them consistent. You don't want them changing every time you tweak your rack later. Automate pitch down, transpose from 0 down to minus 12 over 1 to 2 bars. Darken it over time. Pull down the reverb high cut into the 4 to 6K zone, and bring the filter cutoff down toward 500 to 1K so it closes up and sinks. If you want a tape stop feel, keep it clean. You can use frequency shift or subtly, or do a warp style pitch drop. The key is, don't wreck the transient if it's meant to punch. Tape stop is flavor, not sabotage. Print it, consolidate it, name it like down 2B01. Now we do the pro arrangement move. Build one-shot lanes. Create 3 audio tracks, FX impacts, FX risers, and FX downs or sweeps. Drag your printed one-shots into those lanes and place them intentionally. Major impacts on major section points. Bar 33, bar 49, bar 65. Smaller hits every 8 bars if the track needs momentum. Risers in the last 2 to 8 bars before it drops. Downlifters right after transitions to release tension. Think like call and response on an 8-bar logic. Statement on bar 1 of the phrase. Answer on bar 5. Setup in the last half bar before a change. This stops FX from feeling random. Now, common mistakes to avoid while you're placing these. First, too much sub in your FX. Impacts plus bassline equals instant clipping and mush. High pass most chains. Keep your sub chain mono and quieter. And if you want sub drops, honestly, put them on their own dedicated track and print them separately. Second, wide low end. This audio version is shortened for playback.